Have you ever walked into a room or opened a message or sat down in front of the news and found yourself asking, wait, what is this? What's actually happening right now? It is the question we ask when something has shifted and we don't yet have the language for it. It can come with joy or it can come with dread, but it always comes at the moment when we sense that things are about to change. Recognizing the question and choosing the right response can make a world of difference. And this season, we are asking powerful questions for maximum spiritual growth and transformation. Hi, Living Love family. Welcome to Season 5. Before we begin, I want to pause and thank God that we have made it to another season together. Whether you have been listening since the very first episode or you only recently joined our community, I'm deeply grateful that you are here. It is a privilege to open God's Word with you week after week. And I'm so excited to see how we will continue to use these conversations to deepen our faith and to shape us more into the likeness of Christ. My prayer is that this season will not simply add to your knowledge of Scripture, but will become another opportunity for the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts as we learn to live more fully in the love of God. We all live by the questions we ask. Some questions arise from curiosity, others from disappointment or grief or longing. The questions we carry shape how we see God and ourselves and the world around us. Author and life coach Valerie Burton observes that powerful questions can move us beyond our assumptions and open us to new possibilities. Mark's gospel is filled with powerful questions. As people encounter Jesus, they cannot help but ask, what is this? Who is this? Why does he do these things? Their questions reveal their hopes, their fears, the desires of their heart. And Jesus' responses reveal the surprising nature of God's kingdom. So, this season, over 12 weeks, we will slow down and sit with these questions, trusting that when we bring our deepest questions into the presence of Christ, He shapes us as we ask them. So, here's the rhythm that we'll keep every week. We'll start with a question from life, then we'll listen to a question from Mark, and we will let it become our heart question. Before we go further, I want to remind you that I always provide Bible study work pages on my website at SamanthaShambo.com. These work pages are designed to help you go deeper and to grow in your spiritual maturity. And please share this episode if it blessed you in any way. I recently experienced one of those wait, what is this moments. It was during the Soccer World Cup in Canada. After South Africa's disastrous opening match against Mexico, I had very little hope for my country. The second game was better, but moving to the next level still seemed unlikely. Then during the match against Korea, South Africa scored the only goal of the game. Suddenly, I found myself sitting up and thinking, wait, what is this? My hope began to rise. For the rest of that match, I watched in tension until the final whistle blew. South Africa won and everything changed. What seemed impossible only moments earlier suddenly seemed possible. Mark's gospel is filled with moments like that. People repeatedly find themselves stopping in their tracks and asking, wait, what is this? Because in Jesus, something entirely new has entered into history. The kingdom of God has arrived, and nobody quite knows what to do with it. The questions in Mark will open the door to some of our deepest questions. When will God intervene? Can God actually do something about the evil in our world? What kind of kingdom has Jesus brought? And if God's kingdom has truly arrived, how should we respond? Mark answers each of these questions, not through a theological lecture. He tells us a story. As we follow Jesus through the passages of his gospel, Mark gradually reveals that Jesus is the promised Messiah and the King through whom God's kingdom has broken into history. At the same time, he invites every reader to decide. Encountering Jesus is never simply about gaining new information. It is an invitation to follow the King. And according to Mark, that decision changes everything. In the first chapter of Mark, Jesus announces that the kingdom of God has come. He calls his first disciples, enters the synagogue, and teaches with authority that captivates the people. Then Jesus delivers a man with the unclean spirit. The demons immediately recognize Jesus. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Jesus rebukes the spirit. "Be quiet and come out of him." The unclean spirit convulses the man. He cries out in a loud voice and comes out of him. So the people are even more astonished. They ask the first question for this season. "What is this? A new teaching? With such authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." That's Mark 1:27. Immediately, news about Jesus spreads throughout the surrounding region. The synagogue erupts with amazement and wonder. They are trying to understand what kind of reality they just witnessed. What kind of teacher commands demons? And what kind of authority is this? The crowd asks a question, "What is this?" But the reader already knows the answer. Because before anyone in the synagogue asks it, Mark has already let us hear Jesus' announcement. The kingdom of God has come near. In other words, the miracle is the answer to the question. In Mark 1 verse 14 to 15, Jesus announces, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So this exorcism is the first demonstration of that announcement. Jesus proclaims that God's kingdom has arrived and then immediately displays its authority by confronting the darkness. The miracle is visible proof that the king's announcement is true. Wherever Jesus goes, darkness begins to retreat. Mark carefully prepares us for this moment. Every scene points to the same reality. God is fulfilling his promises. The long-awaited moment has arrived. The people in the synagogue didn't yet understand what they were seeing. They only knew that something had changed. It raises a question for us as well. If God's kingdom really has come near, what difference should it make in our lives today? To answer the crowd's question, "What is this?" we're going to sit with three smaller questions. The first question, when will God intervene? We look around our world and we see war, injustice, suffering. And we wonder, how long, Lord? We watch our loved ones struggle with addiction. Sometimes we receive devastating diagnoses. And sometimes our children drift away from faith. We pray for healing that never seems to come and for broken relationships. Sometimes it seems as if though evil has the upper hand and God has fallen silent. One place where this question has become very personal for me is in my health. I've struggled with the health problem for a long time. I tried everything possible. I spent a lot of money and still my healing just feels out of my reach. There were many days when I knelt beside my bed and I asked God to intervene. I know God can heal and I have seen his faithfulness. But I also know what it feels like to wait and to live with questions that have not yet been answered. Perhaps you know that feeling too. Maybe your prayers for a child or your marriage or your health or someone you love. You believe God can act, but you find yourself wondering, when will he act? That is why Mark's gospel is such good news. It reminds us that God has not remained distant. In Jesus, he has stepped into our broken world and his kingdom has begun to confront everything that opposes life. We may still live in the tension of waiting for the fullness of his kingdom. But because of Jesus, we no longer wait without hope. This is not a new question. It echoes throughout the Bible. The prophets cried out for God to act. Israel waited for centuries for the promised Messiah. Even the Psalms are filled with anguish prayers. How long, Lord? Behind all these prayers lies the same question. When will God step in and make things right? Before Mark tells us when God will intervene, he tells us what time it is. Jesus' first proclamation is that the time is fulfilled. The waiting is over. The moment God promised has arrived. The kingdom of God is breaking into history. If someone asks you what time it is, you would probably look at your watch and answer, it's 10:30 or it's almost lunchtime. We think about time chronologically, 1 minute after another. But when Jesus begins his ministry, he's not talking about the clock time. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The Greek word Jesus uses for time is kairos. It refers to a decisive moment in God's plan, the appointed time when God acts. Jesus is announcing that history has reached the moment towards everything has been moving. This is one of Mark's favorite themes. Throughout his gospel, he constantly tells us what time it is by showing us where we are in God's story. Mark reinforces this urgency through another word that appears again and again throughout his gospel, immediately. More than 40 times, Mark tells us that something happens immediately. The disciples immediately leave their nets. The demons immediately obey. The sick are healed immediately. The pace of the gospel is fast because the kingdom of God is advancing. God's appointed time has arrived, and everything begins moving forward towards the cross and the empty tomb. So here's the answer to our first question. God has already intervened and is still intervening in the coming of Jesus Christ. Question 2. Can God actually do something about our world? Even if you believe that God has intervened through Jesus, another question that quickly follows is this. Can God actually do something about our world? It is one thing to believe in God. It is another thing to believe that He can make a real difference in the world that we live in. Every day we are confronted with problems that seem too large to solve. And sometimes the darkness feels so overwhelming that we begin to wonder whether evil has simply become part of the furniture of the world. Many people have not stopped believing in God. They simply lowered their expectations of what they think God can do. We pray, but we wonder whether our prayers will make any difference. We sing about God's power on Sunday, but on Mondays, we live as though the world is ultimately governed by disease, injustice, fear, and death. We believe God comforts us, but we are less certain that He can transform our situations. The people in Jesus' day wrestled with similar questions. Israel had lived for centuries under one empire after another. Rome's power seemed unshakable, and evil seemed deeply entrenched. If God's kingdom had truly arrived, what difference would it actually make in our world? That is precisely the question that Mark begins to answer in the synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus had just announced that the kingdom has come near. So the obvious follow-up question is, what kind of kingdom is this? Is it merely another religious movement? Or does God's kingdom possess the authority to confront the powers that have held humanity captive? Jesus' teaching and his power over unclean spirits demonstrate that the kingdom of God has authority. For Mark, the kingdom is God's reign breaking into the world through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus exercises his authority, the kingdom is present, and God's rule is made visible. So Mark spends the rest of the gospel showing us what this looks like. When the unclean spirit interrupts the teaching, the people are still wondering who Jesus is, but the demon already knows, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Jesus silences the demon and commands it to leave, and it obeys him. The kingdom then is not merely an idea to be discussed. It is God's reign confronting the powers that oppose him. Mark deliberately connects Jesus' authoritative teaching to his authority over the unclean spirits. Jesus is more than a miracle worker displaying supernatural power. His victory over the demons is visible evidence that God's kingdom has arrived. Their submission and even their reluctant confession that he is the Holy One of God demonstrates that the power of darkness recognizes the authority of God's true King. Before God's kingdom transforms society, it confronts the deeper powers that have enslaved humanity all along. Mark is showing us that God's greatest enemy is not worldly rulers, but sin, evil, and death. From this point in the story, Mark gives us sign after sign of the kingdom. The sick are healed, lepers are cleansed, sinners are forgiven. Those who are excluded are welcome. The hungry are fed, storms are stilled, demons flee, and even the dead are raised. Every miracle is a sign that God's reign is reclaiming and restoring his creation. Mark also shows us that the kingdom often appears in surprising ways. Instead of beginning in Jerusalem amongst the powerful, Jesus begins in Galilee, a region many considered insignificant. Instead of calling priests or scholars, he calls fishermen, tax collectors, and ordinary people. Instead of seeking political influence, he welcomes children, he touches lepers, and he eats with sinners. Mark reminds us at various points in the story that God's kingdom overturns human expectation. Mark's gospel reaches its climax with Jesus hanging on the cross. There, the one who announced God's kingdom appears defeated. Yet it is precisely through his death and resurrection that sin, Satan, and death are conquered. This is why the kingdom is such good news. It announces, yes, God can and is doing something about the evil in our world. This also gives us hope for our personal struggles. If God can defeat the cosmic evil that's all around us, then he can certainly take care of the problems that we are facing. There is no power that can overcome the power of God. So how should we respond? If the time has been fulfilled and God's kingdom has broken into history, then the question is no longer simply, what is this? The question becomes personal. How should I respond? Jesus answers this in the very first sermon recorded in Mark. Repent and believe the good news. To repent is to change direction. It is to turn away from every false king that have ruled our lives. Sin, self, power, security, or even religion. And to turn towards the gracious reign of God in Jesus Christ. Repentance is not merely feeling sorry for our sin. It is choosing a new king. To believe in Mark's gospel means trusting Jesus enough to follow him. It is placing our confidence in him as our king. Mark demonstrates this response through story after story as he introduces us to people who each respond differently to Jesus. Every encounter with Jesus demands a response. No one walks away unchanged. Some follow, some resist, some misunderstand. But nobody remains neutral. Before we talk about what any of this asks of us, I want us to notice the order of Mark 1. Jesus doesn't walk into that synagogue and say, here's what I need from you. He walks in and confronts the thing that was destroying a man. So when Jesus says, repent and believe, he's not setting a condition we must meet to earn his attention. He's inviting us to respond to something that he has already done. So let's bring this home. The crowd asks, what is this? And Mark has told us the answer. This is the kingdom of God breaking in. But Mark isn't just telling us what happened. He's inviting us to ask what is happening in our hearts. So here's the hard question for this week. What am I trusting instead of Jesus in the one situation where I most want God to intervene? Take one situation you named a moment ago. The place where you've been asking, what is this? And write it down somewhere where you can see it. Underneath it, write these words, the time is fulfilled. Every time you see it this week, say those four words out loud and bring the situation to Jesus. Before you go, I want to ask you the same three questions I'm going to ask you at the end of every episode this week. What have I learned about Jesus today? What has the Holy Spirit exposed in me? What is the one act of obedience I will practice this week? Over the next 12 weeks, we will keep slowing down and sitting with the questions people ask Jesus, trusting that questions asked in the presence of Jesus have the power to change us. Remember, if you want to go deeper, the Bible study work pages for this episode are available on my website at samanthashambo.com. My prayer is that these encounters with Jesus will transform the people that you are becoming, so that we can learn to see our lives, our struggles, and our King through the hope-filled lens of the kingdom. Thank you for joining me today. Please join the conversation by following us on social media and on my website at samanthashambo.com. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living life.